Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Hello, hola, bonjour and welcome. Just after 8pm this Monday night, you are listening to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, Central Scotland's finest mix of music and sport. For the majority of next hour, we will talk Speedway as we look at the news, views and interviews of Glasgow Tigers, Edinburgh Monarchs and Berwick Bandits. I'm Derek Smith, battling with some post-holiday blues, it must be said. However, in all honesty, I'm more than ready to talk some Speedway and glad to be back in the Tapes Up studio. Thank you to the Poor Man's Proclaimers, Graham Munsey and Dave Harley, for looking after things last week, available to download on podcast if you've missed it. Thankfully for me, there is much less sign of blue and gold here in the Tapes Up studio tonight. However, I'm delighted to be joined by just a glint of some in the form of the Thinking Man's Monarch, Stuart Wilson. Good to see you again, Stuart.
Thanks, Derek. Good to be back.
Are you coping with the playoff panic, Stuart?
It's not doing my heart any good. I'm a bit greyer now as well, so that's a not good sign.
Not good for your health sometimes, Speedway, is it? Let's get ourselves started, shall we? First off, a summary of what we aim to cover on tonight's show. We'll start with a look back to Berwick's Wednesday night clash with Scunthorpe, ahead of Bandits' tricky trip to Redcar on Friday night. Birmingham were the visitors to Armadale Stadium on Friday, before then travelling along the A1 to face Berwick on Saturday night. We'll also take an updated view of current championship standings and playoff positioning. And of course, we will preview the week ahead as all three Scottish clubs are back in action, chasing down more league points. Okay, Stuart, both together now. Deep breath, look left, clutch in, throttle on, and tapes up. Still laughing. Okay then, let's start at Shieldfield Park, Berwick, a rare Wednesday night fixture as the home side welcomes Scunthorpe Scorpions on league duty. Both sides haven't yet waved the white flag on their playoff ambitions this season, which means that both sides really had to win this one to extend those dreams for another week at least. Stuart, that's the reality, isn't it? Every point, every heat, every mistake, every mechanical gremlin, every heroic passing manoeuvre, they all now count big time.
Well, yeah, any slight slip-up is just going to be magnified because of the not just the expectation but the closeness of the final playoffs. So yeah, it's good that every team's got a chance, you know, however small, to get through to the next stage.
Indeed. And both sides, for this meeting last Wednesday, would operate rider replacement. Nikolai Busk-Jacobson and Danny Ayers sidelined currently through injury. Danny Ayers' season is over. Can't help but feel that the situation would hurt the visitors slightly more, though, Stuart. I think Scunthorpe getting a little bit more out of Danny Ayers in recent months than perhaps the Bandits have from Nikolai.
Well, he's been riding out of his skin lately, as we saw in the British final. That was an amazing performance, and he thrilled the fans in every heat that he competed in. So, yeah, I saw him at Armadale recently, and he had 12 points at top scored for Scorpions that night, and he was well worth the money.
A late developer in the sport, but my goodness, does he entertain?
He's an entertainer. He's got he loves being interviewed. He's got lots of good things to say, and he's a very intelligent man. So he thinks about what he does, and normally executes it very well.
The final score from Shieldfield Park last Wednesday was the Bandits 49, Scorpions 41. The Bandits picking up 10 of the heat winners on the evening, 8 heat advantages to the Scorpions 5. The meeting was quite interesting, the heat-by-heat account of it, Stuart, because at one point the Monarchs, the Bandits, led by 20 points. They led by 40 points to 20 after 10 heats. But over the final 5 heats, the Scorpions actually finished ahead 9 points to 21 to close the gap to within a point of taking an away point from the meeting.
Absolutely. They must have been kicking themselves that they didn't actually get that away point. But what a recovery. And you normally see that, you know, the first half of the meeting is usually in favour of the home team, and the second half, the away side actually gets their setups right and they start to make inroads and maybe have the odd tack sub as well.
looking at the point scorers on Wednesday night. The Bandits were well served indeed by Danny Gapmeyer, who top scored on 13 points. Jai Etheridge weighed in with 9, Aaron Summers 8, and Kevin Doolan and Leon Flint both hit 7 apiece. For the visiting Scorpions, Ben Barker, the enigma that is Ben Barker, top scored on 13 points. Simon Lambert, 9 points, albeit from 7 rides from reserve. And Josh Orte and Jake Allen, both 7 apiece. A very good night and a very good scoring performance throughout the Bandits' side on Wednesday night. However, a closer scoreline than the early stages had suggested. Our man on the Shieldfield spot, Gary Tate, spoke with Berwick skipper Kevin Doolan.
Yeah, we had a few problems there. I had a rear chain break and put me on the deck. We had a couple of 5-1s against, and Aaron had a motor problem at the start line, so it sort of tightened it up at the end. But no, we're happy with our form, we're happy with how everyone's going. If you're going to have those problems, it's good to have a massive points lead when you have them and still bring it home.
Yeah, and in terms of the crash, are you okay?
Yeah, okay, a little bit battered and bruised, but do a bit of hot cold therapy tonight and we'll be back on it tomorrow at King's Lynn.
So you're riding at King's Lynn, and then obviously from a better perspective, we're at Redcar on Friday. Boys, yeah. Up for this?
Yeah, we are, mate. We're riding pretty good at the moment, so we'll go to Redcar and we'll give it our all.
Kevin Doolan there in conversation with Gary Tate on Wednesday night. And, Kevin, he's one of these guys, isn't he? He just demands his teammates to keep attacking every lap of every meeting. And but he doesn't pay too much attention, it would appear, to the meeting scores.
No, the team is built around the whole team performing, because they can't afford to just have one or two riders not really having an off night. So he's absolutely right. He needs them attacking and riding to their fullest to actually make the most of the team.
So a closer result in the end than it looked at the two-thirds marker of the meeting on Wednesday night. Nonetheless, it was job done for the Bandits and a potentially confidence-boosting home win ahead of their trip to Redcar on Friday night. Let's now travel on with the Bandit side to the South Tees Motorsports Park on Friday night, a circuit which Redcar Bears have looked dominant around, certainly since bolstering their side with the addition of Eric Rees. A huge occasion for Berwick this one, Stuart, this being the first of just 3 remaining away meetings that they have this season. Gary Flint will have asked his riders not to leave anything out on track by the end.
Well, at least of all, one of their bikes, if they come off. But like Edinburgh, every away match now is really worth their weight in gold, a win away. And likewise for Berwick, they're in the same position as us. Literally, one or two points difference. And we've just got to make the most of everything now to even have a fighting chance to get into the playoffs.
Redcar, such a tough venue to have to go to, given their current form, and of course they're currently aggressively protecting their current playoff position, aren't they, Stuart?
Yeah, no, it wasn't one of the teams I was sort of tipping early in the season, but they've done remarkably well, and especially when you consider that most teams like the Redcar track and ride it reasonably well, so they have very little home advantage on most occasions. So, yeah, they've done extremely well to keep up a challenge.
So the mission for the Bandits was to go to Redcar, a tough venue, and bring away some league points. In the end, the final score was Redcar Bears 48, Berwick Bandits 42. Just falling short, Stuart, of winning. And it would have been a surprise win, I would have suggested, if Berwick had won at Redcar. But in the end, they have grabbed a point from that venue, and that's no mean feat.
Yeah, I think a point was all they could actually have got from that meeting, really, if you looked at it in the cold light of day. And they did extremely well to get that point, especially with Redcar really on good form lately and winning meetings by quite some distance.
Well, they did very well to get that point when you look at some of the stats. The Bandits only provided 4 heat winners on the night and only 2 heat advantages, so to come away with a point, given those statistics, wasn't a bad result at all.
Oh, that's quite near the bare minimum to actually get anything anything out of a meeting. So that was incredible.
Notable scorers on the night: British champion Charles Wright, a flawless 15-point maximum for the Bears. Eric Rees scored 10 for the Bandits. Aaron Summers led the way on his former circuit with 11 points. Nico Cavatti, brought in as a guest for Nikolai Busk-Jacobson, scored 9 points from 5 rides. Gary Flint would never admit it, I'm sure, Stuart, but as team manager, surely he has to be more than a little frustrated at just how consistently inconsistent a couple of his riders have been this season. I'm talking about Danny Gapmire and Jai Etheridge, who we know surely are better than 4 points apiece at Redcar.
Yeah, I can only relate it to recent Armadale performances. Danny Gapmire, he rides it so terribly. The novices in the second half ride the track better than he does. And I'm not being too unfair there. It's just one of those situations where he's obviously got a phobia about the track, and he's convinced himself he can't ride it. All he's got to do is, well, I'm not an expert, but just ride it hard and just go into the bends hard and you'll get the rewards from it.
I'm sure Messrs Courtney and Flint will have been telling them exactly that many times this season. But Jai Etheridge, a former Redcar rider, only 4 points on a track that, you know, if he'd added just 2 or 3 points to his tally, that could have been all the difference between
He's absolutely more than capable of doing that. But I agree with you. He is inconsistently consistent, I don't know what it is. He rides Edinburgh really well, but sometimes he just doesn't turn up. You know, he just doesn't fancy it one day, and that's it. He just doesn't perform.
The final score on Friday night was a whopping convincing victory for the Monarchs by 60 points to 30. Edinburgh providing 11 of the heat winners. Only one last place for Edinburgh on Friday night, which was quite remarkable. And in terms of heat advantages, what a whopping score. Edinburgh 10, Birmingham 0, Stuart.
And the only last place was because of an injury rider replacement for Willie Lawson in heat 13. So you can imagine. And he only just got last place. So that was a terrific performance. Yeah, it was a really good night. Birmingham really, after the first few heats, the stuffing was knocked out of them, and they really couldn't recover. Yeah, it was very unfortunate, the heat 4 incident in which Jason Garrity overslid the fourth bend, or the second bend, on the last lap. And Cameron couldn't avoid him, and nor could Nick Agitoff as well, and they both careered into the strewn rider on the track. They were all okay in the end, but it was quite a horrific incident at the time.
What's the latest news you're hearing on Cameron Hughes? I believe no breakage, no broken ribs.
The initial diagnosis was he couldn't breathe when they got to him, and he was in all sorts of pain. In the ambulance for quite some time, and then they eventually got him to hospital. He's got very bad bruising. Unfortunately, there's no broken ribs, which have showed up on the X-ray. But he's incredibly sore, so it's touch and go whether he's going to be right for our next meeting on Wednesday.
Okay, we'll come to next meeting on Wednesday in the second half of the show. Top scorers from Friday night: Sam Masters, 14 points from 5. Ricky Wells, a dozen points from 5 rides. Josh Pickering, 11. James Sargent, 9. And for the Brummies, Adam Ellis top scored on 9. Tero Arneo and Jason Garrity both with 7 apiece. Another very comfortable night then for the Monarchs on Friday, collecting his personal best since linking up last month was James Sargent. Here he is reflecting with Graham Munsey on a good night's work.
Starting to get more confident around here. Starting to get my lines a bit more track knowledge and everything. So a good night all round. Yeah, so just got to carry on.
Obviously, a few people were saying in the run-up to the meeting that the Monarchs should win quite big, but you've got riders like Adam Ellis, Jason Garrity. It was never going to be that easy tonight.
No, definitely not. I mean, Jason proved what he could do in E15 then. You should never take anything for granted before a meeting. That's how teams lose. But yeah, we've done his job. We just need to get them away wins in now.
You mentioned that they're off to Somerset on Wednesday. Obviously, you scored well there the last time. I think it was 8 or 9 you got down there. A repeat of that would be pretty good.
Yeah, even more would be better.
And obviously, what we've spoken about over the last few weeks, the aim is still the playoffs. We need those away wins. It needs to start on Wednesday. But is the feeling in the camp still that it's doable?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had two away meetings with Edinburgh now, and two meetings I think we should have won, but we didn't. I didn't do as good as what I thought I should do at Sheffield, but no, it's too low die, isn't it? It's got to be done now.
Agent Sergeant Leo Stewart. I have to say, though, that, and I'm saying this slightly through gritted teeth, but James's scoring seems to have improved markedly since linking up with the Monarchs last month.
Well, he has admitted he does like the track, and he's getting used to it now. This is his third meeting at Armadale, and each time he's improved. His gating is good. He's not his usual into the tapes type gating, but he's gating really well. He's attacking the track, and he's got a great mentor in Sam Masters, who's really looking after him. And he doesn't need much looking after either. He's making heat 8 his own. Mm-hmm. He really targets that heat as the one he has to win. He looks impressive. I think we've got a really good find there.
And you know, in terms of middle order scoring and strength, just to back up the top end and sometimes replace them on occasion, you know, James has so far been doing that for Edinburgh.
Absolutely, and he took one of Cameron Heaps' rides and got a second place, but he was quite close to actually winning that race as well. So, no, he takes on the responsibility. He's a really nice lad. And he gets on with all his teammates as well. So, he's fitted in very, very well in a short space of time.
Good, good. A whopping home win then for the Monarchs on Friday night. All eyes now focused on Wednesday night's crucial, potentially season-defining trip to Somerset before the Armadale liking Newcastle Diamonds visit on Friday. More on those meetings in the second half of tonight's show. Final review. A heavy defeat at Edinburgh on Friday night and a few fresh injury concerns were the headlines for the Brummies as they travelled on to face Berwick Bandits at Shieldfield the following evening. With their playoff fate potentially now slipping out of their own hands, all Berwick could do was to win on the night in front of the home fans, with the Brummies not necessarily expected to test the home side too robustly. Stuart, there's still a few meetings, there are still meetings to win and some speedway to enjoy, of course, and still, low probability or not, a place in the playoffs to aim for Berwick.
Yeah, all they can do is just keep winning their home matches and trying to get sneak a couple of away victories or at least a point away. I think they've got 5 matches to ride now. So it's getting close. I think the next away meeting they lose and that will be it.
Fun scoreline on Saturday night was Berwick 52, Birmingham 38. Berwick providing 9 of the Heat winners on the night, and the Heat advantages scoreline was Berwick 8, Birmingham 4. William Lawson guested for Birmingham at Shieldfield on Saturday night. Some useful practice for Mr. Lawson. And 16-year-old Liam Flint was named the captain of the Bandits on Saturday, Stuart. How about that?
That's incredible. But he's an impressive lad. But to see Willie he rode well on the Friday night, and I think he impressed Birmingham. So and obviously they were looking for a replacement for Nick Agitoff. So he was immediately available, so they just went with Willie. But good practice for Willie for when we're there.
Scorers on the night for the home side Bandits: Danny Gapmeyer, 15 points from 7 rides. Jai Etheridge, 14 points from 6. Kevin Doolan, 9 from 6. Aaron Summers crashing out in a Heat 1 spill. And unfortunately, it looks like Aaron has a broken foot, which is going to end his season for the Bandits, Stuart.
Yeah, very unfortunate. It seems to be the season for broken ankles and broken feet, doesn't it? With Richie Worrell suffering a similar fate, and he's been out for how long now? Must be at least two months. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if it is as predicted, then That's Aaron's season done, I'm afraid.
So victory for the Bandits on Saturday night. Afterwards, our Gary Tate spoke with a delighted Jai Etheridge, first asking to reflect on the previous evening's narrow defeat at Redcar.
I had a shocker, probably one of my worst meetings all year. I'm usually quite good there. Just couldn't find a right setup. It was so wet and slimy for such a hot day, they'd well overwatered it. But the boys rode well. We were unlucky not to get the win, really. But a point's a point, and we've just got to make sure we get 2 4-point away wins to have any chance of the playoffs.
And in turning to tonight, a good victory over Birmingham. A good night, a busy night, so after Aaron's first heat crash and left us with 5 riders, so a busy night for everybody.
Yeah, it was flat out. Like, I think I had four or five rides in first 10 heats. Like, didn't have time to scratch my bum, really. So, it was a good win still. All the boys stuck together and we battled on through it, and it was good.
Yeah, I mean, a great total. I paid 16 for you tonight, so the round will be in you tonight, no doubt.
Yeah, that's what everyone keeps saying. I finally top scored, beat Danny, I think, about time. He's quite quick here, but it was good. It was finally good to just bang in a massive score, which is good for the end of the season.
Jai Etheridge there being very reflective of his performance at Redcar the evening before, and a busy boy on Saturday night. So when he rides it, he didn't have time to even scratch himself, he said.
Well, that's from an Aussie, that's that's quite mild, really. But there we are.
So not such a happy night, though, for club number one, Aaron Summers, as we heard. Here he is recalling what happened with Gary Tate.
Yeah, I remember the whole thing, didn't hit my head or nothing like that. Just come out at the start and, Adam was maybe that little bit ahead of me and got squeezed up and he'd come across pretty much all the pole line and I had nowhere to go and clipped his back wheel and then it straightened me up and sent me straight into the fence. Bike's pretty second hand, it's my foot. It's my worry at the minute. I'll see how it feels through the night. We'll keep icing it and stuff, and then make a call tomorrow whether we go X-rays or what have you.
Yeah, poop pay to your meeting tonight, unfortunately, but hopefully you'll be back on the bike from yourself personally. It's your next meeting, but for Berwick, we're at Birmingham on Wednesday. How do you feel that one will go for the Bandits?
It's definitely a place we can win. Birmingham's not the strongest of teams, I don't think, at the minute. And the boys are all capable of doing it. So hopefully I'm all right to ride. I don't want to finish my season now with a broken foot with only, handfuls of meetings left. But definitely I think it's doable for the boys and they can make the push and get it done.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope it's nothing serious, Aaron, and you're back on the bike very soon. And of course, next Saturday is Newcastle, the old local derby. They tend to have some track experts here, at Berwick, so it could be a tough one as well.
Yeah, definitely. Stevie goes well everywhere, and Jorgensen's in the team. He used to ride for Berwick and Maddie as well. So it's definitely not going to be an easy meeting. But the form that all our boys are on at the minute, they can win at home, no problems.
So at the time, Aaron, of course, he'd hurt his foot, obviously. He was going to go and get it checked out on Sunday, which he did do. And as we confirmed earlier, confirmed now as a broken foot and season over for poor Aaron. And that's going to be a miss to the Bandits.
Huge miss. He's Mr. Reliable, and he's so good on away tracks as well, because he's been riding a while and he knows them very well indeed. So, yeah, a big miss there.
A huge week coming up for the Bandits with that trip to Birmingham on Wednesday night and before reconvening at Shieldfield against Newcastle Diamonds on Saturday. We'll preview both meetings in the second half of the show. After the break, we will preview all the track action featuring the Scottish sides and assess remaining prospects for those playoffs. Back in two.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
You're listening to Tapes Up with Derek Smith and Stuart Wilson on Rock Sport Radio. You can listen again to tonight's show and play back each show as the season progresses via podcast, accessible from the Rock Sport website, else from your favourite podcast app, inclusive of iTunes and Spotify. Right then, let's, as more quickly than usual, run through some previews of this week's action featuring the Scottish sides. Let's start on Wednesday night, which is a big night. Let's kick off, first of all, as Gary Flint will lead his Bandit side to Perry Barr Stadium, Birmingham. The Brumbies have certainly strengthened in the past month. Jason Garrity now installed as a heat leader, which makes the Bandits' task all the trickier, Stuart. Not to mention, of course, news that would be broken in the first half with Aaron Summers now being sidelined. So a good choice of guest is going to be key for the Bandits on Wednesday.
Certainly is. I can't see them using rider replacement. They're going to need a guest. And with two other matches, or four other teams actually involved on the night, it may be a bit tricky.
Is it fair to say, Stuart, you know, up until, I don't know, maybe a month or so back, visiting Birmingham, given their struggles this season, was probably as much of a formality having a wee win as any side could hope for. But the dynamics have certainly changed for this one, and just at the wrong time for the Bandits.
I thought you were going to mention that, because Edinburgh lost there quite heavily.
That's exactly why I didn't mention it.
Yes, the dynamics of the team have changed. Adam Ellis coming in and a few other changes. Although they've lost James Shaynes. He wasn't at Edinburgh on Friday night because he had according to reports, a very bad crash in a grass track meeting the previous weekend. And he's a big miss for them. He's their captain, and he's such a reliable performer as well. So it's things don't look good for Birmingham that night. I think Berwick could actually nick that one.
I'm going to suggest the playoff doors closing fast on the Bandits, Stuart. Amongst others, they really need a 4-point win, I would suggest, at Birmingham.
Minimum.
If they are to metaphorically stick a foot in that closing door.
Aye. Well, that would be... I like Berwick, so I shouldn't say that really. But
we've all got a soft spot for the Bandits, haven't we?
So I really hope they do it on Wednesday night. Yeah.
Well, here's Berwick's Jai Etheridge again sharing his thoughts on this week's meetings at Birmingham and then home to Newcastle.
I've never been there, but I got Bellevue Monday first, so I've never been there or anything. So it's another track. You just take it as it comes. Fair few of the boys have been there before. Leon rode there last year, so we're just going to go there firing straight from the start. I think these boys will probably be a bit worried after we battered them with five blokes tonight, so hopefully take seven guys there and we do a job.
And then next Saturday, Newcastle could be another tough one, even though they're down the bottom of the table as well at the minute, but Newcastle normally ride this place well.
Yeah, there's a fair few specialists in the Newcastle team for around here, so... Oh, we've just got to keep attacking it the same way we do, and like the track's suiting us to a T now, we've got it pretty dialed in. It's very consistent as well the last few weeks, so no, it's really good.
So yeah, it's going to be a new experience for Jai at Perry Barr on Wednesday. It's a track he's never been to.
Anything can happen.
but I think the circuit tends to be one which visiting riders deem to be, you know, quite a fair circuit and a decent one to be able to perform on.
Yeah, it's reputed to be well prepared, and the riders tend to like riding it. So I think he could be in for a pleasant surprise.
And Jai, of course, has been picked up once again by Bellevue Aces in the Premiership to help their playoff push over the final weeks of the season.
Yeah, and they certainly do need a bit of a push, actually, and they haven't been performing very well recently. But he's given him a wee bit of a spark, and that can only help his Berwick form as well.
We'll do the score predictions before the end of the show, Stuart. Would it be reasonable to suggest, though, that a failure to win on Wednesday would end Berwick's fading hopes of claiming a playoff spot?
I think it would. Yeah, I think, honestly, they wouldn't be able to recover from that.
That sounds very decisive. Good luck then to the Bandits on Wednesday night. A pivotal meeting against Birmingham and potentially a season-deciding week for the club. We wish them well, and we'll cover off what did happen on next week's show. Also on Wednesday night then, Stuart, sit up and pay attention to this. Edinburgh are in action as they try once again to visit Somerset Rebels. Stuart, the Monarchs in much the same position as Berwick. You've already mentioned that earlier in the show. An intriguing matchup ahead on Wednesday, given the comparative makeup of both sides.
Yeah, as we're definitely targeting Somerset. They're in third place. They've got three meetings to go. We've got six. We've got three home and three away. One of our home meetings is theirs against them as well. So if we can take six, maybe 7 points off them, that will severely dent their chances.
James Sargent, in an interview earlier, suggested that Wednesday night for the Monarchs was a must win. You can't disagree with that, can we?
Absolutely. If we don't win, we're literally out, I think. The same position as Berwick.
The Rebels, Stuart, have all but cemented themselves in the playoff spots, or so they think, but they are defending what looks like a strong position currently. However, and this is exactly the point you were making, were Edinburgh to win and extend their own qualification hopes on Wednesday night, that would blow a gaping hole in the Rebels' prospects.
It would leave them vulnerable. I haven't looked up who they're actually playing, apart from ourselves, the other two meetings they've got. But I think they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. I know they've been saying that they just need to win their home matches, but if we beat them, then obviously that's one home match they haven't won.
Well, I believe, if my information is correct, that the Somerset have still to travel to Armadale, as you've mentioned, and to Redcar is the other away venue.
Doesn't look good for them.
looking at their side, the prospect of Nick Morris, Rory Schlein, Chris Harris, Nico Cavati coming to Armadale, they must believe they've got a chance at Armadale.
Yeah, they're as strong as Leicester when Leicester came and lost by 1 point. However, we've got a strong top four as well. Hopefully, Cammy will be fit for that one. But tellingly, we've got James Sargent and our reserves really coming into form. Mm-hmm. And that's a very good sign.
You're right. James Sargent, William Lawson, I would suggest, are hitting the best form of the entire season.
Yeah, and Willie's got to one of Sam's engines for Wednesday night. He was on Joel's ex-engine since Joel left and doing extremely well, being very fast from the gate, which has been his Achilles heel this year. Mm-hmm. And Sam's engine is much faster than the one he's got, so watch this space.
Sam, talking of Sam will relish a return to one of his former tracks from home circuits at Somerset, and his battles with Wolverhampton teammates Nick Morris and Rory Schlein should be worth the admission money alone.
Oh, they could be classics, really, and a good good rehearsal for the Riders' Championship coming up very soon.
Indeed. Monarchs management will undisputably have marked this down as a must-win. A fascinating battle in store at the Oak Tree Arena on Wednesday night. Good luck to Edinburgh in this one. We will examine how this worked out, of course, in next week's show. On to Friday night then. Edinburgh will return home to Armadale Stadium. Triumphant, perhaps, Stuart, we'll see. Regardless of what happened at Somerset, the instinct will remain the same, to win and earn three more league points, providing the opposition are Newcastle Diamonds, another side who will believe that they can yet mount a late run, and a side, Stuart, with a very decent Armadale pedigree.
Yeah, again, with lots of ex-Armadale experience in there, Matty Weathers, Steve Worrell. It's always an exciting fixture when Newcastle come to town, and they always tend to be quite close meetings.
Max Clegg is riding very well indeed, and the Diamonds have managed to keep him at reserve for the majority of the season. If he can continue that on Friday night and potentially have seven rides, that doesn't seem unreasonable, and chips in double figures for the Diamonds or thereabouts, then that backing to the top end could make Friday pretty tight, Stuart.
Yeah, on the last occasion, that's exactly what happened. Max got extra rides and did really well and really supported the top end of the team, and they only just failed to get something out of that match. So I expect a similar regime over there this Friday coming.
Listen, the Monarchs management, as if the Riders need to be told, and they clearly don't, but sometimes it's worrying, isn't it? Because Riders tend not to know what the match score is or how many points they've scored themselves. So why should they understand the intricacies of a playoff push? But
sometimes they forget to put the right helmet colour on.
But the Monarchs management will leave the Riders in no doubt whatsoever that every meeting from now on is a must win, and that counts as much at home as it does on the away meetings.
Yeah, you just need to. You don't. Alan Harkis just doesn't need to say anything. You just look at him and mm-hmm. you just know, right, okay, we need to do it tonight. And that's it.
So something has to give in this one. Two sides desperate to win. Both will believe that they can. Outright top end strength versus solid throughout. Looks like a cracker of a race meeting at Armadale Stadium on Friday night. What will happen? We'll tell you next week. Okay, keeping with the previews, let's move on to Saturday night now. If there is a circuit that the Diamonds will relish visiting more than Armadale, it's most probably probably Berwick's Shieldfield Park. That will indeed be the matchup this Saturday night as the North East rivals lock handlebars once again. Two old foes, Stuart. They tend to face each other slightly more than any other sides during the season. And it feels like both of them may... Right here, right now, it feels like both sides may just fall outside of the playoff positions. However, points, pride and pay packets very much still to race for.
Yep, and with Berwick likely to be without Aaron Summers, as we've said, tricky choice of guests because there's lots of meetings on that Saturday, so they're going to struggle to get a decent guest. Newcastle got a chance for that one. I quite fancy them for that one.
Looking at the current positions, current league placings of both clubs, so they're not yet out of anything. Should they manage to get themselves on a winning run from here on in, I think it's fair to say that both clubs and they're not unique in this respect, are operated on a tight budget. Mm. Berwick and Newcastle. Yeah. In that respect, if both clubs finish the season in their current positions, approximately in the league standings, would the respective managements be happy with that, Stuart? Given how tightly managed they have to be in terms of ability to sign riders, etc.
Yeah, I think every team expects to get through to the playoffs, and there's only four places, so not every team can. And I think both Berwick got through to the playoffs last year, and a sign of success for them this year would be to be in that position again. And likewise for Newcastle, they strengthened their team. They put a lot of hard work into the team, and they expected a good outcome from that. And I think they'll be bitterly disappointed that hasn't happened.
We're hoping to learn the news or some update as to the health of Nikolai Buss-Jacobson, because with Aaron Summers now confirmed as sidelined for the remainder of the season, my goodness, the Bandits could do with Nikolai returning to track.
Yeah, he's not had his troubles to seek, has he, really? And he's had an in-and-out season, and this is the last thing that he needed. And his confidence must be pretty low, but if they can just get him back and get him on the track, I'm sure he would do a good job for them.
So certainly some North East rivalry to keep supporters of both clubs focused on this one. 3 points, though, or even four, could still prove to be vital should a late-season collapse occur down Redcar Way or Somerset Way. Winning breeds positivity after all, Stuart.
It does. As the saying goes, you've got to keep going until the finish line and don't let up. And I'm sure that would be in everybody's mentality to do that and continue on until it's absolutely certain that you can't get through.
Okay then, final preview for this week, and it's Saturday night, Speedway in Glasgow. All sat-navs will be at the ready as supporters reacquaint themselves with their travel route to Ashfield Stadium. Weather permitting, at least the home side will look to get back on track and reduce the outstanding fixture list as Ashfield Stadium stages a championship clash against Scunthorpe Scorpions. Stuart, it will have been 4 weeks since the Tigers last raced at home, with pressure now on to complete the fixtures, never mind anything else, and attempt, of course, to climb back to the summit of the league table.
Yeah, it's been a while since they've been there and racing. It probably feel like they're an away track for them at the moment. But I can't see them having any problems with Scunthorpe if they just have a half-decent performance.
Well, of course, the Tigers still covering for the injury absence of Paul Stark, and we hope maybe next week's show to bring an update on how Paul's recovering from his wrist break. Saturday night, though, will mark the home debut of Sam Jensen, who signed for the Tigers a number of weeks ago, and it will just be the second meeting at home for Mikael B. Anderson. And that suggests to me, from a Tigers point of view, Stuart, a slight vulnerability, which Tigers will of course have to ride through and survive on Saturday against the Scorpions.
Well, you could flip that on its head. There's two riders there who really want to prove themselves.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's hope it's a lie. Let's go for your psychology.
I'm trying to give you some positivity.
You.
There's you being negative and me being positive.
Well I'm going to be highly positive now, Stuart, because I'm going to make this statement. Glasgow are already quite safe in the playoffs. I can't allow myself to believe that isn't now a shoe-in position for Glasgow. But very much still job to do, and one key target to chase down, which is to overhaul Leicester at the top of the table and have first pick for those playoff semis.
Aye. You've got five meetings and Leicester have only got one left, so you've got a chance to do it. So, yeah, I think barring any slip-ups at home, you should be fine.
Thank you.
I think you will.
I feel much better already. Thank you, Stuart.
I think you will make it.
Well, listen, it's a little ironic, of course, because the Scorpions are going to be Glasgow's opposition at Ashfield on Saturday night. However, the Scorpions might travel and get a huge round of applause from the Glasgow faithful if they can defeat Stuart Dixon's Leicester Lions around their home track, around Scunthorpe's home track the evening before, because Stuart has got to lead his Lions to Scunthorpe and win there to take some control potentially at the top of the table. Otherwise, if Glasgow can just see out their home meetings unbeaten, then Tigers are going to have that first pick, Stuart.
Yeah, that's very true. I quite fancy Scunthorpe to do you a favour there. Yeah, I've not been impressed with Leicester over the last few weeks. They're not shut off, but they're not as dominant as they were previously, and I would have expected them to really keep on pushing and show their dominance and really put fear into other teams and say, well, in many cases that teams are defeated before they even start. So, but
one factor about Leicester, and I'm sure we'll pick up on this in the coming weeks because I don't have any news on it right now, but Richie Worrell has been out of the saddle for months now. I'm not quite sure, you know, if and as he expects to return to the saddle this season, but should he recover fitness, and I'm sure he's pushing for it, then I don't know if that's a good thing for Leicester or not, given their ability to select guests for tracks.
Yeah, it's difficult to find a replacement for Richie. He was actually in Poland last weekend with Josh Pickering. Mm-hmm. He was riding for a Polish team and helping him. So I think he's not far away from getting back on track. And from what Josh was saying, he was looking okay and getting moving around okay. So and because he was actually physically helping him in the pits and dealing with his bike, so he must be reasonably fit now and just a few days away from actually getting back on track.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye on that one. Saturday night then, Glasgow will welcome back Klaus Wissing to the side. No home meetings missed in the end for the Dane through his recent suspension. Tigers, incidentally, still await the outcome of Craig Cook's appeal and face the prospect of yet having to enter the playoffs without club number one. We'll keep a watching brief on that. For Saturday, though, I'd expect Tigers to get the win, but if Ben Barker can get top-end support from Messrs Otte and Allen, then Saturday night could get very interesting, if not a little stressful, for us Tigers fans. We'll cover off how it all unravelled on next week's show. Stuart, we have a number of minutes to take a glance, and probably not much more than that, at the current league standings then. The top four positions remain unchanged, with as yet no other side making a strong push to challenge. So we have Leicester at the top of the table, currently on plus 16 points. Glasgow have plus 18 currently. So Tigers actually have five meetings in hand on Leicester. Redcar sit in third place in terms of the plus minus table positions, at least on plus 8. Somerset sit on plus 6, and that they make up the top four currently. And there's a bit of a gap. So you have Somerset in fourth place on plus 6. Next or nearest challengers are Sheffield and Berwick on minus 1, and Edinburgh on minus 2. Now looking at the remaining run-ins for the bottom four clubs, Eastbourne, Scunthorpe, Newcastle and Birmingham, I'm actually going to suggest that all of those four sides are out of contention. I actually think if any side could yet mount a challenge and topple Somerset for fourth place, it would be one of Sheffield, Berwick or Edinburgh, and I suspect Berwick and Edinburgh have the better prospects.
Yeah, and plus we've got to face Somerset twice, home and away. We can get a maximum of 40 points, So that assumes we win away fixtures by get 4 points from each away fixture, three home and three away. That's a tough ask, especially. Well, but encouragingly, the three apart from Somerset, the other two against Berwick and Newcastle, who we've won at previously, not this season, but in other seasons. So I'm very optimistic that we could get at least two away victories. That would make Somerset very vulnerable.
Absolutely, and my predictions, as much as they're worth, of Edinburgh's three remaining away fixtures, I'm suggesting that potentially at best Edinburgh could win two of those. But if one of those two away victories happens to be at Somerset, then it's absolutely game on, Stuart.
It is. That is. That performance on Wednesday night, that's going to mean a huge amount to our season. and that will give the team a huge lift. You know, with Sam coming back, that's a big enough lift as it is. And his presence around the pits is worth, 6 points alone to the team. But they all know the importance of Wednesday night. Every one of them was talking about it on Friday night. and not less the fans as well. So we'll all be looking online and checking the score heat by heat to see how they're getting on.
Yeah, absolutely. Wednesday night, as we mentioned, Berwick go to Birmingham, key meeting for the Bandits. They've got to win at Birmingham, aided and abetted by a guest for number one, Aaron Summers. And the same night, as you mentioned, Stuart, the Monarchs travel to Somerset. And as we've touched on already, it's absolutely must win. If the Monarchs were to lose on Wednesday, Stuart, that leaves them only with remaining meetings at Berwick and Newcastle. Even to win both of them, would it just be a bridge too far?
We may be unlucky, and it may go down to points difference. And because we've been winning our last few fixtures by quite some margin, that could be significant. But if we do lose on Wednesday, it's going to be not game over. But it's going to be we're going to be very fortunate to get through, I think.
And from a Glasgow point of view, Stuart, just humour me for a moment. Undisputably Scotland's number one club side, but a real battle going on between Edinburgh and Berwick for numbers two and three positions.
You can only say that after the playoffs.
Well, I don't think the league table lies, Stuart. So the playoff qualification cut-off date is looming 15th of September, to be precise. And positions at that date, just 3 weeks from now, will determine the top four. We will reassess any movements on next week's show. Speedway fans out there, regardless of who you support, how do you see this league chase or playoff place panning out? Please do get in touch. Add your thoughts to any social media post promoting Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio. Stuart, then, a time just to have a quick refresher on this week's meetings, complete with our own score predictions, the part of the show that you love most. Let's start off then on Wednesday night. Tapes Up 7:30, Birmingham versus Berwick.
Birmingham against Berwick. I think it's going to be a last heat decider for that one, and Berwick may squeeze it by 46-44.
I've actually written Birmingham 40, Berwick 50. So I'm giving 4 points to the Bandits on Wednesday night. Latest news on Nikolai Buss-Jacobson. We mentioned earlier we tried to acquire that. And right now Nikolai is having some physiotherapy on that shoulder. He no longer has the shoulder in a sling, I'm informed, but he didn't have too much strength in it. And he's needing some physio, presumably for a number of weeks, to try and get himself race fit again. So not likely to return any time soon.
Well, yeah, similar situation with Ricky Wells, and whenever he injured his shoulder in a clash with Paul Stark, they crashed into the air fence at the same time, and he was suffering with that shoulder for a while, and any time a track was grippy, he just couldn't cope.
Yeah.
So he could ride on the smooth tracks and the slick tracks, but grippy tracks, he really felt his shoulder. So I reckon that could be the same situation for poor old Nikolai.
Okay, let's look at also on Wednesday night, Somerset versus your Monarchs, Stuart.
Well, I'm going to have to go for a 49-41 win for Edinburgh. Well, Sam getting an 18-point maximum.
Well, do you know what? The reality of it is that could very well happen. It could really happen. Yeah. You know, Edinburgh are going to be up for it on Wednesday night. I'm going to go slightly differently. I'm going to go 47-43 to Somerset. I think Monmouth will take a point. It might not quite be enough in the end. On to Friday night then. Edinburgh, Newcastle at Armadale. Tapes up 7:30.
50-40 win to the Monarchs, I think.
I've got 49-41 to the Monarchs, 3 points banked. Yeah. Saturday night, Berwick Bandits versus Newcastle, tapes up 7 p.m.
I think that'd be 47-43 to Newcastle.
Ooh, and the wee win, says Stuart. I've got 49-41 to the Bandits. Also Saturday night, Ashfield Stadium, tapes up 7:30, Glasgow versus Scunthorpe.
It should be an easy win for Glasgow, say 51-39.
50-40 is my prediction. On Sunday, we haven't really been able to do this justice or fit it into the show tonight, Stuart, unfortunately. But next Sunday at 5 p.m. at Sheffield's Owlerton Stadium, the annual staging, in fact the 50th staging of the Championship Riders Individual, Craig Cook, Sam Masters, both previous winners, will start amongst the favourites.
Wow, what a turnout that is. You've got Rory Schlein as well. So
yeah, Danny King, Charles Wright. Yeah, it really is a top first class lineup, isn't it?
You've got the British champion.
Yeah, yeah.
That night as well. Yeah. So
I'm not going to ask you to predict the winner, but I think supporters who are in attendance next Sunday at Sheffield will be the winner, Stuart.
What? Who could bet against Charles Wright doing the double?
Absolutely. Yep. Glasgow, Edinburgh, Berwick fans, how do you see things going this week? A pivotal week for all three sides. Please do get involved with the show via Facebook and Twitter. Feel free to post your thoughts and opinions against any of the club posts which promote Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, or start your own. Well, Stuart, barely a pause for breath. Once again, we've performed a pacey show tonight. It's getting pretty exciting around the Championship scene. We should probably expect the unexpected this week. Thank you very much for your input and opinion. Hope you have a good week and that the dream lives on a little longer.
Well, it's a crucial week. This could be a pivotal week in quite a few team seasons. So good luck to everybody.
Good luck to everybody. Thanks indeed. And thanks to our correspondents and interviewees featured tonight. Do keep across the social media output from each of the Scottish sides and visit the official club websites for all the fixture information. Go along and support your local side and play a part in their season. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your Speedway. Good night.
Good night.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.